504-321-5365-504. If you need any block or concrete work done, you can give them a call, and they will come out and take a look at what you've got going on and give you an idea of what they can do that work for. And you will be greatly appreciative. When I watch television, I don't watch many of the things that other people do. I watch, Building Off the Grid, Building Alaska, and all this sort of stuff. And I every once in a while, I see people who are doing their own concrete work, and it doesn't go well. It doesn't go well. And I look at the quality of work that the Anderson family does, and with Jits Concrete, and you know, when they're in charge of a project, the very first project that I did not have to oversee at our church was a concrete project that they did for us, and I wasn't even in town for it. We had talked about what we wanted to see happen and all that sort of stuff. And I came back and it was like, yes, it's done. And, they do things with excellence. They do things with expertise. And you will be glad that you called them to have them come and deal with your block or concrete situation. 321-536-5804. If you can utilize their services, and let them know that you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So today we're going to move over a few pages from where we were the past few days. We're going to move over to Psalm 31 today. Psalm 31. And, I've been doing this thing on Deliver Us from Evil for quite some time, but I've never felt like it was as timely a word as it is right now, where there is so much panic that is stirred up, and I've got some theories of my own as to why those things are taking place. I've watched a few illusionists in my life, and whenever they say focus over here, I realize that they're trying to distract me from where the reality is taking place over on the other side of the set. And so I look at what's going on as a bit of a distraction, so that they can try and pull something over and make something appear to be happening that's not. Let me just say this. Whenever there is a world crisis in Scripture, the solution for that was always frustrating to people who tried to operate by worldly principles. If you look at the situation in Egypt, when Joseph was in prison there, Pharaoh has a dream, and Joseph has the understanding as to what that dream means and provides the solution, the process that is going to not only bring Egypt through that victoriously, but also he's going to end up seeing his own household saved, and other people came because of the gift of the man of God, the woman of God, who knew the heart of God, said, you know what, God's trying to say something here. The solution to global crisis is not found in the system of man. It's found in the heart of God. And we need pastors, and we need prophets who are going to stand up and declare, thus saith the Lord, and they're going to be a source of wisdom. And so with that being said, I want to ask you, what is your inclination towards the people of God? God spoke this word to me here in prayer, and it's like Joseph was the one that God was going to utilize to interpret and implement the wisdom that was necessary to bring about salvation. But his brothers didn't want to have anything to do with him. They were jealous of him. They hated him. They wanted to kill the person that God was going to utilize that was going to bring about the cure to their starvation. Other people wanted to imprison him. Other people wanted to try and compromise him. There were people who forgot entirely about him, and yet he continued to serve faithfully. It wasn't just in Egypt, but Daniel, you will find Daniel in serving in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar is like, look, if you can't help me to understand what is taking place in the supernatural timing of this world that we're living in, what use are you to me? And he was going to exterminate the lot of them. And Daniel, when the man was sent to execute Daniel, he said, wait a minute, what's going on? And when it was explained to him, he said, okay, you give me tonight, and I will bring the heart of God to the king tomorrow. See, Nebuchadnezzar didn't even tell him what his dream was. And they said, nobody's ever done it that way before. He said, look, I can tell that you have already made a decision that you're going to lie to me to try and save your own neck. I want you to tell me the dream, tell me what the dream means, and we're going to move forward from there. And Daniel was the prophet. I pray that we will be people who have not tried to sideline or eliminate or compromise the prophetic voice, the men of God, the women of God, but instead we will say, you know what? In a moment of global crisis, there is nothing like, thus says the Lord. God has a solution. God has a solution to whatever problem you face. We're in Psalm 31 today, and we're going to focus on just a couple of verses. Down through verse number 5, it says, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Here we see that David has put his trust in the Lord. He doesn't want to be ashamed of where he's put his trust. But unlike a former psalm, an earlier psalm, where David is commending his own righteousness, and if you read in the scriptures about David, you will find that his righteousness was not always flawless. His behavior set him up for correction and discipline and loss and pain and heartache. So we need a better stand. I need a better standard in my life than appealing to my own righteousness. And here in verse number 1, David says, deliver me in your righteousness, O God. That's an entirely different matter. You see, it is impossible for God not to be in right standing. He has never lost a case. His virtue is beyond compare. He is holy all the time, and he is righteous. And so David here says, God, would you deliver me in your righteousness? Because when you walk in covenant with God, the nature and the assets of God, if I can put it in that term, we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus of those same characteristics. So his righteousness is imparted to us, enabling us who were for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, to be restored to right relationship with Father God because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, deliver me in your righteousness. It is absolutely a glorious thing to walk in covenant with God. Don't wait till the last minute. Okay? The world will say, you know, go out and sow all your wild oats. The thing about sowing seeds is you end up reaping that type of harvest. The most glorious transformation is not the last minute or the last second salvation. That's great. I'm thrilled every time a person gives their heart to Jesus. But that person never gets to demonstrate to those around them what a transformation God makes in their life. And so I want to encourage you to say, God, deliver me in your righteousness. Deliver me as early as possible in my life so that I can live a life that is going to bring glory to you. It says in verse number 2, deliver me speedily. You know, I'm the type of problem or the type of person, sometimes I can be the type of problem too, I suppose, but I'm the type of person that I don't want to prolong the agony as long as possible. I want minimal amount of obstruction and pain and misery and heartache in my life as possible. I don't want that sort of suffering. And so God should be our first option. He's also our last option. You know, there's a joke that went around in Bible school, and it was a person, and they'd been trying to deal with this problem over and over and over again, and they said, you know what, I think we're going to have to pray about this. And the other person responded, has it come to that? You know, that prayer is the last resort. I want you to know that we can avoid a lot of crises if we just have God as the one who's doing this journey with us, and he's leading us in the process. He says, deliver me speedily, be my rock of refuge. Now, when you read David saying that, you need to understand that he was very familiar with the landscape of Israel. When he was being pursued, he could be in the same location as Saul, who was trying to destroy him, and he would know Saul was there, but Saul wouldn't know that he was there. He knew how to find safety in a terrain that other people would not go. And here he said, God, deliver me speedily, be my refuge, a fortress of defense to save me, a place where I can go and I can thrive while other people may not even be able to navigate the landscape. He says in verse number 3, for you are my rock and my fortress, therefore for your name's sake lead me and guide me. We talked about this, that God wants to lead us. He wants to lead us for his namesake. We oftentimes want to be led to a place of comfort, to a place of complacency. And I think we need to once again have the adventure set before us and say, we're doing this for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just about our comfort. Lord, heal me, not just so that I'm not in pain, but heal me so I can serve. Heal me so I can testify that you delivered me speedily. He says, pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Sometimes we need God to remove us from the circumstances that we have found ourselves in. Pull me out. I told you many times that, you know, the scripture where God says he will not give you beyond what you are able to bear, but will make a way of escape with every temptation, will make a way of escape. And many people have that mindset that, you know, the only way that God's going to be able to do that is he's going to rip off the roof, he's going to reach down his arm, going to grab you by the hair, and he's going to pull you out of that place, and he's going to set you in a better place. Sometimes he does that. The better solution is for us to say, God, would you change my heart so that the things that tempt me now don't tempt me tomorrow? And the things that have ensnared me now, and the enemy has trapped me in, and I'm hemmed in, and I can't get out by myself, God, I find myself in a pit of miry clay. Would you come and you pull me out of the net which they secretly laid for me? You know that there are people who will try and set you up. Jesus, we have a reference here to, again, one of these messianic passages where in verse number 5 it says, into your hand I commit my spirit. And Jesus was a person that they literally entrapped with false accusations. It's not an unfamiliar technique. It's something that the enemy uses with a great deal of frequency. So how do you protect yourself from false accusation? Well, the Bible tells us that we are supposed to live our life in such a manner that if people hear false accusations, that they will say, that's not the person that I know. I do know that there are situations where people have compartmentalized their lives and they live as a righteous person in this person's presence, and they live as a wicked person in another person's presence. And there's like this split personality type thing that goes on, and they think that because they're being true in that moment to what they've always been, they think that everybody ought to understand. I just mean what I say and at that particular moment, and if I have to say something opposite to it later, I just say something opposite. It's not that big of a deal. We need to live our life in such a way that people know that we are the same on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, week after week after week, month after month after month, year after year, decade, until everybody knows this was a life lived for the glory of God. They might secretly lay out the plan or lay out the trap for you, but we don't have to trip that trap. We need God to expose it so that we do not enter into the trap that the enemy has set to bring down our own demise and our own downfall. God, you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. In a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Easter. We've got a wonderful, wonderful Easter service that we're planning. I'd like to invite you out to that right now. It's going to be April 12th, 10:30 of a morning. I want to invite you to be a part of what God is doing. And I think there's going to be some interesting things that take place on that day. We're looking for transformation, and so I want to invite you out to that. At the end of Jesus' life, he says, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Placing your spirit in God's hands is always the right thing to do. It's never the wrong time to do that. David said, I would rather fall into the hands of God than into the hands of men. And I want to commit to you the nail-pierced hands of the Lord Jesus Christ that you say, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you with my now, and I'm going to trust you with my forever. And I'm going to put it into the Bible describes this translation came about when I used to preach from the New International Version until they kept changing it and revising it. But it said, given irrevocably over to God. Don't be the type of person that says, I'm going to give you my life and tomorrow I'm going to take it back. And then next Sunday I'll give it back to you and then I'll take it back. Give and take it back. And there's this continual flip-flopping of who's in control of your life. Say, God, I'm putting my now, I'm putting my past, and I'm putting my forever into your hands, for you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. See, God knows the truth of the situation. He knows our reality. He doesn't need us to explain it, you know. He doesn't need any witnesses. He's got the video. He's got the audio. He even knows what the thoughts and intents of your heart were. Let me take you to verse number 15. It says this, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Your life, your times are not in the hands of the connections that you make. When you've committed everything into God's hand, he says, my times are in your hand. The years of my life are in your hand. If I'm going to be successful, it's going to be because I'm in your hand. It's not going to be because, you know, this person knew this person, knew this person, knew this person. It's not going to be that just that networking thing with a Christian label on it. It's going to be because you are the God of all glory who comes and picks us up yourself and places us where you want us so that we can prosper for the glory of God. My times are in his hand. And when you realize that God's in charge of the timing, it saves you from a whole lot of anxiety and disappointment. So what I tell people is this, enjoy the season that you are in. Enjoy it. Serve faithfully in it. And also prepare for whatever that next season might be, because there's always a next season. You know, I shared with our church here not too long ago that very early in life there was 2 years where we were just like set up on the shelf. There was very little ministry that was going on. And now, that situation flipped on a dime, and when it did, ministry took off, and it has been a wild ride ever since. So you need to be preparing. If you're in a season of busyness, you might prepare yourself, because one day that busyness is going to end. If you are in a situation right now where there's not a whole lot that is going on, prepare yourself, because, you know, Joseph went from being a prisoner to prime minister in a very short period of time, just a matter of hours. Allow God to prepare you, because you have a next season that is coming. Verse number 16 here is, make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. God is a God of great mercy. Thank God for his mercy. But I want, if there's any men that are listening, I pray that we would be more concerned about our spiritual reflecting the Father's face than we are about the shine of the wax job on our automobile. I pray that when people look to us that they would see the face of God that is shining on us. If you want to know what you look like, you got to get into the Word. There is no substitute for the Word. It is our spiritual mirror. It is what gives us that accurate reflection of what we truly look like. And God is the one who works in us. It says, make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. And so it is a great thing when God is doing that. If you know that you are under the Father's loving supervision, you're not just under His supervision, you're under His loving supervision, you don't have anything to worry about. There are things that I do in my life that are intentional because I want relationships to be gloriously harmonious. And so I pray that we will value the opportunities that we have to live our lives in such a way that people will, when they look at us, they will see the nature of God being demonstrated in us. You know, every once in a while, my mother will see my dad and I walking in the same direction, and she'll say, "Y'all walk just alike." I remember my dad telling a story about when he called a friend of his father's, and he said, "Do you know who this is?" And she said, "Well, I know who it's not, but I know who it sounds like. So it's got to be Jerry, because you sound just like your father." We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."